Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Lynn Warney, the president of the Nevada State Education Association. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias, Chip Evans, and Bill Bilyeu. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Success at TRI has come from public-private partnerships. I'm here at the Story County Public Services Facility with Roger Norman, master developer, and Bum Hess, Story County Commission. Let's listen in.
Roger, this county facility that you built this really looks great.
Thank you. The fire, sheriff, and building department will be housed here, which is a real asset to this park.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Attention computer shoppers with past credit problems. If you've had past credit problems and want to make a change, call now. All you need is an active checking account and you're approved for our program. Bankruptcy, liens, divorce, or job loss, it doesn't matter. You're approved. We'll get you that new computer you always wanted and report on your credit so you can start to get it back on track. Call now and with your paid order, we'll add a free color printer, free MP3 music player, and a free LCD TV. You heard right. Free printer, free MP3 player, and a free LCD TV. Call now and tell us where you want your brand new computer and free gift shipped today.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome to the program Lynn Warney. She's the president of the Nevada State Education Association. Pleasure to have you here.
Good morning.
Lynn, you were recently appointed to a 29-member education task force by Governor Gibbons. Of course, it's co-chaired by Elaine Wynn and University Chancellor Dan Klaich. 29 people in one committee. What can you get done with that many people on a committee?
Good question. I asked the same thing myself. You know, that's a very large group. But you know, there's a lot of constituencies, a lot of interest in education in the state of Nevada, which I think is a good thing. We've got some real problems that we're going to need to solve. And so if interested stakeholders and organizations such as mine can all come to the table, you know, and talk this thing through, I'm looking forward to a productive outcome. And if that's the number of people it's going to take to get there, then that's what we're going to deal with.
Well, I look at this as, you know, another SAGE commission. The SAGE commission met. They came up with all sorts of cuts that could be implemented in state government. And basically, the SAGE commission report, like many other state government reports, was just put on a shelf and seemingly forgotten about. Could this happen with this education committee, too?
I don't think so. I think our charge is going to be a little bit different. From what I understand, you know, and our first meeting isn't until this Friday, but from what I understand, first of all, we're going to be charged with this Race to the Top application. And that's a very large, very complex application that's going to take many, many hours to pull together. And I think it's going to take all our efforts to get this thing done and have a real competitive application. But in addition to that, we're going to be looking at reforms that we need to see in education to make it, you know, meaningful, more meaningful for our students. And we're going to be looking at possible legislation proposals for the 2011 session.
Okay, what kind of reforms?
I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see what everybody brings. I think there are different perspectives. We've got such a wide range of people on that task force. You know, my position has always been we need to provide the highest quality education to our youngsters here in the state of Nevada, and we just haven't been able to do that. Funding being one of them, but there are other policy you know, positions that we saw even whittled away during the special session. For example, we've now got some additional class size flexibility with a sunset. You know, is that something that we want to allow districts to look at or not look at? Or, you know, I think there's other things that don't necessarily come with a real hefty price tag on it, because I understand that we're also not going to be proposing tax policy. We're looking at specifically education policy.
What do you think about Secretary Duncan's main ploy now, which is that he wants kids when they graduate to be either ready to go into the workforce or ready for college? What do you think about that?
I think that's a great goal to set. What does that look like? What are the details to that? I think that's, you know, what we need to really roll up our sleeves and get into. You know, all of us in the education field hope that when our kids leave high school, they are prepared for a college career or a career out in the workforce, you know, whatever career path they choose. I don't know that we're doing a great job there with No Child Left Behind and the overemphasis on testing. So many of our career and technical courses have kind of gone the wayside. And so hopefully we can resurrect some of that and prepare them, as Secretary Duncan has said.
What do you think about the cost of remedial education on the university level now that the university level is, or the universities have taken such a hit financially?
You know, the remedial issue has been around for many years. You know, I started in this position 7-8 years ago, and it's been around, and it's something that's going to need to be addressed. I know that, you know, we struggle to meet the needs of all our youngsters in high school, but when you're dealing with class sizes of 40 or more, particularly in some of the, you know, beginning lower level sort of classes in high school, it's hard for an educator to get around and provide the individualized instruction that some of those kids need. Maybe it's looking at how we deliver those services to our students.
You know, as we've discussed, no teachers were laid off due to any kind of bills that were passed in the special session of the legislature. I'm just talking specifically about the bill that would increase student-teacher ratios for grades 1 through 3. But the districts, as you know, Lynn, are still facing multi-million dollar deficits. Washoe County, of course, has a $34 million deficit. With these kind of big deficits, do you think eventually some teachers are going to get a pink slip or be laid off?
I don't know. You know, again, that's a discussion between those employee groups and the representatives from the school district at the bargaining table to sort out the best solution to these difficult times. And certainly there are some real budget shortfalls that people are going to need to look at. You know, with the flexibility that we saw enacted in the special session to be able to move some additional kids into those lower grade classes, to be able to move teachers into, you know, out of those lower grades into the other upper grades, to use that class size reduction all the way from, you know, first grade through 12th grade, I think through resignations, you know, natural attrition with folks retiring, resigning, and leaving the districts, I think everyone will be able to keep their jobs still. But again, you know, that's a local decision, and what kind of solutions they come up with here in Washoe County are going to be different than they're going to need in Clark than they're going to need in an Elko.
As you talk to teachers, as you go around the state, how concerned are they?
Very, very. You know, there's several factors. Morale's at an all-time low because there's just so much uncertainty about what is happening in education right now. There's a lot of reforms coming down from the federal level that we still need to see implemented in the state. The, you know, Obama and Duncan just put out the blueprint on the reauthorization of ESEA, or No Child Left Behind. We still have all those, you know, ramifications to deal with. We got Race to the Top. You know, and then we've got the local and state issues. You've got budget shortfalls that are huge. You've got some districts that have some reserve funds that'll be able to cover some of that. You've got some districts in the state that are just broke, and they're not going to be able to cover that, and they're really going to have to make some tough decisions with their employees. You know, they're very worried. And in the meantime, those kids come every day. They still need to provide a quality education for those youngsters. They've been stripped of the tools to successfully provide that education. We don't have after-school tutoring. We don't have before-school tutoring. We've seen, you know, even cuts in food programs and resources and those sorts of things. You know, now you're going to see class sizes creep up. They're already very large. You know, they struggle to provide the best they can for these kids, and they worry that they're not doing all that they can because they're not provided the tools to do it.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Lynn Warney when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
Enjoy great contemporary cuisine at David's Grill at Red Hawk.
When you are wrongfully injured through no fault of your own, life can be tough.
Oasis Legal Finance is the number one choice to provide clients the money they need for bills and living expenses long before their case may settle. Call Oasis now. If you're approved, you could have a check in as little as 24 hours. The phone call is free. The application is free. And there's no obligation to repay if you lose your case. Call Oasis now.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lynn Warney. She's the president of the Nevada State Education Association. You know, you brought up something interesting there where you're talking about food cutbacks in the schools. You know, we've done stories over the past few years about certainly schools in both northern and southern Nevada where there's a high proportion of kids that are homeless. Mm-hmm. And that the only food that they receive is through their school programs. And schools like Whitney Elementary and HUG have done an extraordinary job, along with many others, to help feed these kids. Is this worsening now that we see with the recession?
Absolutely. The kids in transition that we see now, the numbers are just staggering in our schools. And you are exactly right that, you know, generally the only food that some of these little kiddos get is what's provided for them there at the school. I know many educators that bring their own food, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or whatever it is, just to make sure that these little guys get some food. I mean, tragic stories about kids, you know, making off with ketchup packets and that's what they're going to have for dinner when they get home. Yes, there has been a definite increase. You know, kids coming clothed inappropriately for what the weather might be outside, lacking school supplies. If you talk to any of the charitable organizations that put together, you know, backpacks with pencils and all those needed supplies, they've run out this year. You know, they put out more calls, you know, for more, but you just can't meet the need because it is just so tremendous at this time.
Senator Townsend was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about Senator Horsford's amount that said we'd have a $3.4 billion shortfall. He added another $500 million onto that. As you look at the upcoming legislative session, you must do so with horror.
Absolutely. You know, and I would agree with Senator Townsend's figure. I think we're going to be closer to a $4 million shortfall.
$4 billion,
excuse me, with a B. Yes, it's going to be, it'll be tremendous. And the challenges for that legislature when they come back in 2011, I mean, not only are you going to have a slew of freshmen, you know, legislators, because so many seats are open this go round, you know, you've got very new LCB staff to help support the effort, and the issues that they're going to be dealing with are challenging. I mean, we've seen in this state repeatedly that the legislative process is not a process in Nevada that can set tax policy because they just are held hostage with this two-thirds majority that just seems to bog everything down. They are going to need to set that kind of partisanship aside, and there really is going to need to be some cooperation from all stakeholders, all legislators, regardless of, you know, the side of the aisle that they sit on, to address the needs of the state.
But one of the things about the two-thirds majority is it gives a large amount of power to the minority.
Absolutely. You know, and some would say it's the tyranny of the minority, because we saw, for example, back in the 2003 session, you know, the mean 15 hold up the entire education budget. Districts were panicked as to how they were going to begin the school year, not knowing what their budgets were going to look like. You know, we've seen now repeatedly how that happens. I understand, you know, how and why it was originally created. Unfortunately, it's not, it hasn't been efficient. It hasn't allowed our state to move forward and address the needs of its citizens. It's done nothing but, you know, bog the process down. And in the meantime, you know, programs such as education in this state, public education, have been left to languish. We're still sitting at the bottom of this, you know, national ratings and per pupil expenditure. So it has not served our students well.
Well, you know, Lynn, getting back to teachers and specifically what they're paid. Of course, there was a proposal to cut teachers' pay, which it was nixed by the governor before the start of the special session. And Senator Mark Amity covers the, his constituents are a lot of state workers. He represents the Capital District. And he was a little miffed with teachers. He said that teachers have a favored nation status among state workers because state workers are having to take pay cuts, where teachers so far have not had to take pay cuts. What do you think about favored nation status among all state workers for teachers?
I don't think there's a favored nation status at all. You know, I wish the state workers, you know, all the very best, and I know that they wish the best for us. We educate their students and we support them in their positions. I don't think it's that at all. You know, I think it's a false dichotomy that the media and that legislators set up, that either you're going to need to take a pay cut or you're going to have to lay off teachers. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. When you've got, for example, a Clark County sitting on millions and millions of dollars and, for example, capital improvement money set aside to, you know, repave an athletic field where they would be considering actually laying off teachers or repaving an athletic field, I think the parents would like to see services provided to their students and not see those class sizes increase and forego the repaving of the athletic field till we get ourselves on our square
foot. Well, I have to throw in a counter there, which is that I understand what you're saying, but if you talk to builders and contractors and construction workers, that they're going to say, hey, you know what? That's jobs for us as well.
I understand that, but you know, we're talking about the future of the state. We're talking about our students. And when you're talking about increasing class sizes, particularly for some of our youngest students in this state, in first, second, and third grades, just as they're beginning their academic careers, that's where our focus needs to be. And polling shows that that is where the public wants the focus.
One last quick question. You mounted a huge advertising campaign during the special session. How successful do you think that was?
We think it was very successful. You know, when we were going into the legislative session, the special session, we were hearing, you know, 22% cuts across the board. You know, as we worked through the session, I think there was a real desire on the part of some legislators to step up and look at industries that may not be paying their fair share and ask for their help in trying to solve this right now in the short term. Again, you know, what we're going to have to deal with in 2011, it's going to be huge. But I think there was a coming together of that, and I think the advertising campaign that you mentioned that we had out on the air, I think moved that needle a little bit and changed the discussion.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
The odds of this daughter of a clergyman spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Here's important news for all Medicare beneficiaries with diabetes. These new alternate site no-code meters make testing easy with no finger pricking. You can receive one of these new meters free. And with Medicare or private insurance, your testing supplies may also be covered with free delivery.
Call 1-800-203-7728 now. That's 1-800-203-7728. The call is free and there's no obligation.
1-800-MEDICINE for all your healthcare needs.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're taping this program on March 22nd, and so it is the morning after the night before of health care reform at last, according to the headline in the New York Times today. So on this historic day, whether you like it or not, Bill Bilyeu is here, the former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Chip Evans, Chairman of the Washoe County Democratic Party, and Larry Mathias, Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association. What does it mean to you, Bill?
I mean, whether I like it or not, whether people like it or not, I'm here. That's what you said.
That wasn't exactly
right. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's not exactly a bright and cheerful day in terms of my perspective, or do I think it is going to be a particularly bright and cheerful day for the American public?
Why?
Because we cannot afford it. I'm not sure quite, Larry probably don't, what's all in this bill and how it's going to be implemented, because we still got a lot of implementation to do. But I think we're well on our way to the socialization of health care.
Okay, but you say that at the same breath that you've said that you don't know what's in it.
I don't know everything that's in it, because the devil's in the details. What they're going to have to pass specific acts, taxes and things like that, I think, to implement this kind of grand plan that they have.
Chip, something was accomplished that many presidents have tried to do over the last century and not been able to accomplish until now.
This is a terrific day for the American public in my mind. I think it was a bright and shining moment. Healthcare reform has been needed for so long. There are so many known problems. The Democrats around the country campaigned on this issue in 2008. The American people said, we need you to do something about it. This is not a complete and perfect bill, but it's a great first step. It's a great foundation. And I think at the end of the day, when a lot of the debris of language and hyperbole is torn away and the reality of it becomes clear, I think we're actually going to feel better about it than we do, and even my Republican buddies.
Your response to that?
Oh, God help us.
All right, let's, you know, Larry, you were here giving us a history of how many times how many presidents had failed in trying to get this accomplished. As you sit here today and probably with more knowledge than any of us on this subject, what are your thoughts?
That we will probably know what this means in about 15 years. That these kind of reforms, when they do come, Social Security had a major change in it. It wasn't working very well from when it passed in the mid-30s. It was in the mid-50s that the change made it real. Medicare, it was a decade later that the fundamental rules changed, and it lasted. Clearly, the reform issue is about universal coverage, and the way we've done it in this law is through requiring every individual to purchase insurance for themselves and their families, or that they'll be on some eligible for some government program or subsidy. But all of that is pushed out. That doesn't really start for most of the rest of the decade. There is going to be expansion of Medicaid, which is in a sense, remember, the public option was being talked about. Where do people who can't afford to buy insurance, where they go, or will there be a governmental option that people can take instead of taking the health insurance company? That is going to be Medicaid, the largest expansion of Medicaid in history, and that's coming very quickly. It's all paid for at the front end by the federal government.
Yeah, but Larry, is there an expansion of Medicaid in terms of the coverage, the number of people covered, but and yet a contraction in terms of the benefits? Because I can see, and you cite two programs, Social Security and Medicaid, right, to begin with, both of which are in dire financial difficulty now. Both of those, and we are, and here we're taking on another program in terms of the socialization, in terms of the government paying for us for cradle to grave, if you will, and that's going to cost trillions of dollars. And where is that money coming from?
Well, you know, actually, the underlying problem that wasn't confronted in the last year is the unsustainability of the Medicare program unless there are major changes. That this year, for the first time, a majority of payments for health care services come from a government source. And within 2 years, a majority of people who will have insurance, even with this huge expansion, won't have it in the private sector. They're going to have it in the public sector because the baby boomers moving into Medicare. That also probably makes the insurance, the private insurance plans, actually doable a decade down the road, because you're going to have the high-end users of private insurance is the baby boom generation. That's the big lump of population, and they're going to be in Medicare. How this all works out is hard to say, but fundamentally, the coverage issue is the reform. The rest of the package, the other 1,000 pages, are changes that are largely continuation of either current programs or the next generation of current policies.
You know, the idea that it's hard to say, and if you want to talk about financial arguments, you know, some experts sat down with that. The CBO office priced the thing out, and it's going to bring the deficit down. It's going to reduce premiums.
What they had to do was they had to count projected savings that are guesses as revenue. And that's dangerous thing to do.
As every future
said that.
Predicting future is exactly that. You have to make some assumptions about expenses and savings. And there are some savings involved in this program.
And rosy assumptions turn out to be disasters.
And can only do what information they're given. They were given garbage, and garbage is what they came up with.
And that's a very good point, because everybody points to the CBO and says, oh, this is, you know, the true number that's going to come out, and this is the one that we're all going to go by. And yet, as you put it, whatever numbers they give them is the numbers
garbage
that come
in, garbage
out.
Garbage in, garbage out.
All right, that's where you got to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Obviously, lots more to talk about this week. Thank you.
Free auto accident answers. At Laub & Laub, we've been giving you real answers right now since 1965. We're Laub & Laub. You shouldn't have to pay to get your legal questions answered. Free legal answers now.
Hi, I'm Terry Peterson with Reno Mazda Kia. We're proud to team up with Jay Humphreys and the Reno Bighorns to recognize World Autism Awareness Day on April 2nd. And to show our support, we're offering 2 tickets to the Reno Bighorn World Autism Awareness Game on April 2nd with any test drive before April 1st.
1 in 110 children are diagnosed with autism every day. Bring a voice to these children by attending the Reno Bighorns game on April 2nd.
Help the Bighorns and Reno Mazda Kia support the Autism Coalition of Nevada.
Everyone loves the taste of a delicious homegrown garden tomato, but planting a garden and trying to take care of it is backbreaking work. Introducing the revolutionary Topsy Turvy. It grows your tomato plants upside down. Just place your tomato plant into the planter, add potting soil, then hang in water. It hangs conveniently on any size porch, deck, patio, condo, or apartment balcony. Now you can enjoy delicious homegrown tomatoes in sandwiches, salads, and sauces all season long with the Topsy Turvy Tomato Planter for only $19.99. You'll also receive our Four Seasons Recipe Guide and our Handy Kitchen Slicer for perfectly even slices every time. But call right now and we'll double the offer. Just pay processing and handling. You get 2 Topsy Turvy planters, 2 recipe guides, and 2 slicers, all for only $19.99, but you have to call now.
To order for $19.99 plus processing and handling, call 1-800-889-1063. That's 1-800-889-1063, or go to topsyturvy.com.
The offices of Laub & Laub, you get real answers right now. Call us or email us, or just come on in this Wednesday, and every Wednesday is walk-in Wednesday. No appointment necessary, just come in.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Plus, you can download the show free of charge from iTunes. On our next broadcast, the president of the Desert Research Institute, Dr. Stephen Wells. We'll see you then.